that's in love with Jesus. I don't just casually know him. I know him to be my Savior. It's not a one-night stand type of relationship. This is something that's going to endure till the end. It's one thing to say that I'm in love with Jesus, but to be able to follow that thing up with, and he's in love with me. You should have lost your mind right there. And he's in love with me. We bless the Lord today. Is it anybody that's excited to be in the house of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Just very tired, amen. We've got a lot going on in the body of Christ, amen. And when you have a lot going on in the body of Christ, that means that individual territories will go through attack. It's critical to know this, because without knowing this, we'll come to the house of the Lord expecting one thing and always leaving with another. Amen. I said this Wednesday night, and I wanted to echo it today. Ministry is not sexy. It is warfare. Amen. And the thing about the warfare is, it's going to come at you whether you're going to fight back or not. I told you last week that we were under attack. But I love being under attack, because being under attack means that we're doing something right. And if you ain't never under attack, then you ain't doing nothing right. He's not concerned with you, amen? But today, as tired in my body as I am, I saw the Unity Worship Center fighting back. Amen. And God has shown us again his hand on this ministry. Amen. Can we just bless God for the praise team today? Amen. We bless the Lord for the praise team today. You saw us within the praise team fighting back. Amen. When you see my daughters come down from behind me and begin to lay hands on me and pray for me, you see the Unity Worship Center fighting back. Amen. And I want you to understand, it's supposed to be warfare. The enemy is going to do what he has to do, being an enemy, and it's important that we do what we're supposed to do, being saints. Amen. We took a detour last night. That's what happened. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and tell you what happened. I ain't gonna throw nobody under the bus, but I'm just gonna say, when you put in a certain address in your thing, and the little GPS thing, you gotta watch out, because there could be four or five states with that same address. And it wasn't until we got to some bridges that we had never seen before, about 2 hours into the ride, and I said, I think we got the wrong thing in the GPS. So what was supposed to be a three-hour ride back from Tennessee, fellowshipping with Norlicia and her family, ended up being a six-hour trip coming back. And we're going to leave it there. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you from the subtitle, or if I could give you a topic today, the topic would be, I want it all back. I want it all back. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you strengthen my body. Give me the ability to do what it is that you've called me to do today. I come up against every attack that tries to come up against this ministry, the people connected to this ministry, this service today, and we speak victory over it. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 8. Says, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, and the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters, they had all been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever cried so hard? Has anything ever hurt you to the point to where you felt like you'd never, never be able to stop crying? Y'all have had it all easy all your life, I see. Have you ever hurt to the point to where, if it's going to hurt like this tomorrow, Lord, you don't even have to let me wake up? Oh, God. It says, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, and they had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Then David said to Abithiah, the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abithiah brought the ephod to David. And so David inquired to the Lord. He says, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail, recover all. Somebody look to your neighbor and tell them, I want it all back. We ought to be deeply grateful to God for the inspired history of the life of his servant David. It was a great life, a vigorous life, a life spent in many positions and conditions. I almost rejoice that it was not a faultless life, for its failings and errors are instructive. It is the life of a man after God's own heart, but still the life of one who went astray, like a lost sheep, and was recovered by the great shepherd's grace. By this fact, he comes all the nearer to us poor and faulty men and women. And in fact, if I were a betting man, I would be willing to bet that there is not a person in this room that has never had a David moment. Whether you found yourself checking out a beautiful man or woman, or whether you were guilty of laying down with someone you do not belong to, nor them to you, or whether you knew what to do, knew what God had told you to do, but you instead needed to see how the people felt about it. And there are countless other examples that I could come up with. And I want to be clear, I do not rejoice in the fact that he dropped the ball in some areas of his life as a hater of David, nor as to mock him at all. My rejoicing that David wasn't perfect or that he had some struggles has very little to do with David at all. More so about God and his love and mercy and patience with David. See, I don't know about anybody else in here, but I rejoice in knowing that my debacles do not disqualify me from all God has called me to do. Mm-hmm. See, if it was left up to people, I'd have been dead a long time ago. Oh, Lord, have mercy. If it was left up to people, I'd have been kicked out of the church a long time ago. Y'all not rocking with me today. But I mean, I understand that some of you may have come out the womb speaking in tongues, and I understand that some of you in here get it right all the time. But the way my nature is set up. With the way that my old man tends to try to just take over from time to time. See, and if I'm being real, sometimes when my old man pops up, oh, Lord, contingent upon the spiritual shape I'm in at the moment and what's before me when he pops up can dictate if I kill the old man right there or do I decide to hear him out and see what's on his mind. Lord, you ever know your old man is on the scene and right there, there's supposed to be a murder. There's supposed to be a slaughtering of the old man, but on the strength of what's before you and maybe your spiritual batteries aren't as strong as they usually are. And you know, you got the sword, but you say, just tell me what's on your mind. You got to be willing to say no when everything wants to say yes. Lord, have mercy. Dead things are supposed to be dead. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. See, y'all acting like y'all real holy in here today. Let me just give you an example. Case in point. The other day, Miriam and I were in the car together, and I needed to get some gas, and so I pulled into the Speedway, and I go in and I pay for the gas, and there's this older man who's trying to carry his cup of coffee in one hand and he's got his cane in the other and he's trying to figure out how he's going to open the door. And when I see him struggling, I stop my transaction and I go and open the door for him. I go back to the cashier and put my number in for the rewards and the cashier says, "Sir, you have a free drink or slushy that you're going to lose in 2 days if you don't use your points." Uh-huh. And so I know that Miriam loves those slushy drinks. So I tell the cashier, "Look here, my wife will be here in a moment, and she'll collect it." And so I go out to the car, and I tell Miriam, I'm like, "Hey, baby, I got a free slushy off my points." And you know, the lady knows you coming in to get it, and she's so excited. She's smiling all big because she loves these slushies. She's like, "Boy, your gift made room for me." And she ran onto the Speedway. I told y'all she make everything spiritual, even slushies. So she runs into the store, and my car fills up, and I go back in to get my change that didn't, you know, it wouldn't take. And Miriam has her slushie, so we walk out the store, and there's another old man who is really in bad shape, and he's gotten himself stuck trying to get in the back seat of a car, and the people in the front, they're older than him. And so I begin to help him get in the car, and get this, he says, "God sent me an angel." And I say, "God bless you, sir." And Miriam and I are in the car, and she's like, that was beautiful what you just did. So, you know, I'm feeling kind of holy, right? Feeling kind of holy. You ever do 2-3 things right? We, you know, us men, we don't get them moments often where we done 2-3 things right. You know, so I mean, I helped one older gentleman with the door. I gave my free drink to my beautiful wife. Found myself helping another elderly man in the car. Yeah, I'm being a blessing in this piece. Yeah, Shando. holy. And so we pull off onto Richmond Road and all is well. And then we ran into a little traffic. And this guy behind me, he begins to blow his horn at me. And he's making gestures. Now, men, you know, I can take you blowing the horn, because if you've ever rode with me and you blow the horn at me, you know I'm just going to blow the horn back. You blew your horn, I blow my horn, now what? And in my mind, if you don't blow no more, or when we get to the stoplight, you stay in your car, I won. This joker keeps pushing the horn. And I'm like, bro, I don't even know why you tripping. There is nothing anyone can do. He continues to trip. He's doing all this and I'm just waiting for a certain finger to arise to get this thing popping. Don't forget though, I was just holy. Amen. So by the time he's done tripped all through this, and by the time the traffic has broken up, now I'm agitated. I don't even remember the old people. And I find myself with the spirit of the Apostle Paul when he said in the book of Romans chapter 7 and 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And now I have slowed my car down and rolled my window down and I'm showing nothing but teeth. And I'm about to ask him what was all the foolishness about. But now the tough guy is spooked and abruptly turns off to avoid the confrontation. And I know I'm getting a little more mature in my faith, because there'd have been a time when I'd have been like, I wasn't going to say it. You know me too well. There would have been a time that we'd have chased him down. Now, you're going to have to make me understand what you was going through. And then I graduated and I would have said something now, you know, because I'm a little holier now. I'd have said something like, you had better turn. This ain't what you want, right? But what happens when you begin to mature in Christ, conviction sets in when you're wrong. And I'm still in that phase where when the conviction steps in, I'm like, but did you see him? God got hood on me and said, two wrongs don't make no right, boy. I want you to always remember that two wrongs, you know, in fact, I teach this all the time, when you are confronted, or when the enemy is throwing opposition in your way, the first person you need to check is you. But I was holy. I didn't need to check me. I gave up my free pop. Surely I can handle some adversity. And immediately the Holy Spirit begins to convict me, and right in that moment I realize that even when I will to do right, evil is ever present with me. So I want you to understand that I have no desire to see David fall. I have no desire to see David fail. But what I have learned through David's checkered history is that though I may mess up from time to time, there is a love that God has for me that is far more major than my mistakes. Now, I want you to understand, this ain't no free pass to sin. This don't give you no free pass to sin, because you know that God is a loving God. You understand what I'm saying to you? That makes you a game player, not a Christian. But I do take some comfort in knowing that I can walk through life and I don't have to do it on pins and needles, because as much as I am aspiring to exemplify God, I don't have to be him. On another note, I cannot think of David and not think about faith. Because with all David had done in his life, he could always be found repenting for his sins and then carrying on with his assignment. Whether it's committing adultery with Bathsheba, who became pregnant, whether it was arranging the death of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, whether it was David failing to discipline his sons when his son Amnon committed the sin of rape and incest, whether it was David ignoring Joab's advice and took a national census, which resulted in a deadly plague which infected the people. And in every one of these instances, David could be found exercising his faith in God by seeking forgiveness from God. Can I say that again? After all the things that he'd done, he could be found exercising his faith in God by asking forgiveness from God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. See, you've had to be in some sin to understand that right there. I done messed up, but I believe that you don't lie.
Oh, God.
I done dropped the ball, and I know this is pretty bad, but I believe that you said that when you throw it in the sea of forgetfulness, it's never to be remembered again. Ain't you glad that you serve a God that don't keep score, though people will? Oh, Lord. I want you to understand this. I want you to get this. It takes some serious faith in God to go to God knowing that you are dead wrong. And to make things more difficult, you know that God knows you've been dead wrong. Oh, God. People often wonder, well, if he knows everything and he's seen everything, then why do I have to go and tell him about it? Do you know that when you go and repent to God, that is an act of faith? Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Yeah. I'm repenting to you. Oh boy, that's a beautiful baby. I am repenting to you because I trust you. I trust you to handle it like it needs to be handled. That's why I tell people all the time, be careful who you repent to. I don't repent to people no more. No. Because everybody can't, you know, they can't contain what I'm going to pour in. Lord, have mercy. In fact, if people knew the half, they wouldn't even sit by me. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I learned that the only one that I can trust to repent to is God. Because he's the only one big enough to handle my mess. He's the only one big enough to be able to say, I love you, despite you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It takes a faith in God being dead wrong and still coming to the throne of grace boldly looking for some mercy. Lord, have mercy. So many people are living in depression, discouragement, and defeat because of unconfessed sin. The consequences of wrong choices, they just seem to scream in their lives and burden them like an unrelenting slave master. Even if they know God's willingness to forgive, most people reason in their minds that he could never use me for service. And that's a lie from the pits of hell, because biblical characters emerge from the pages of scriptures not only with their successes but also with their failures. See, if I had to read a Bible of perfect people, I'd walk away from the Bible because I know that there is no way I could be in that club. If I had to pastor a church full of perfect people, I'd probably go get me an old Uber job or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Because there's no way that I could pastor a perfect people being as imperfect as I am. But when it is, Lord have mercy, but when it is, I can look around the room and everybody can come in here in confidence, knowing I might not be as saved as I need to be. I might have messed up yesterday, but I trust and believe in the Lord, and I trust his word, and I'm going to get in there, and I'm going to get me some deliverance. I'm going to get me some understanding. I'm going to get me some forgiveness, and I'm going to be better when I walk out than when I walked in. Yeah, we get to see the people in the Bible, they ain't perfect, and But truth be told, we'd be surprised to see that God uses such imperfect people. He takes people who have committed great sins and restores them. He takes people who at one time refused to acknowledge him and called other entities God and gives them a ministry that was built to save the masses. And the reason, watch this, we find ourselves surprised that God would trust us with his great gospel after all the wrong that we have done is because we know that if we were in the role of God, we would be hesitant to show any mercy. I just got a question I want everybody to answer by raising your hands. If you was God, would it be a good chance that everybody who upsets you, you'd smite them? Pastor Sonia said, with a smile. Take this smite in a smile. Amen. See, that's why you don't get to be God. Huh? Lord, have mercy. And I don't know about nobody else up in here, but I'm glad that when God decided to restore me, he didn't need a vote. He didn't need a co-signer. He didn't need a filibuster. He just got right to the business of making me who was once not even a people into being the people of God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Think about all the times that he should have and could have walked away from you. But it's something about the love from God. And it ain't until you done, and you know, I'm just going to say this personally. I didn't begin to love God as deeply as I did until I realized that he shouldn't be loving me, but he does anyway. See, it's one thing to love me when I don't know what I'm doing is wrong. You know, my conditioning, you know, exemplifies my ignorance. You understand what I'm saying to you? But when I know to do right and choose to do wrong, but in my, you ever know to do right, choose to do wrong, but truthfully in your heart you love God? You remember David and Paul in chapter 7 of Romans when he's talking about the things that I want to do is the things that I don't do, and the things that I do is the things that I don't want to do, and I hate doing what I hate doing the things that I'm doing, but I keep on doing them, and I know what I would love to do, but what I'd love to do and what I should be doing, that I never do. You ever been trying your hardest to be right but be wrong, and it just be blowing your mind because everybody else thinks you just messing up on purpose, but you over here like, I'm struggling, I'm drowning, I'm giving it all I got. You don't have a clue to how hard this is. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, that I want to be right before God. But it ain't always that easy. Some things I had to grow into, amen. Sometimes there's going to be parts of this walk that you got to grow into. I think those are the most valuable parts because there's so much out of that. Amen. You get so much out of that. I want you to catch this. Lord, have mercy. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 8, we find David in a place where he once again, his faith would have to be mightier than his sword. Can I just go ahead and release this to you this afternoon? There will be some things you will encounter in life that your amount of money will hold no weight against. There's going to be some things that happen in your life where your last name will mean absolutely nothing at all. And it will be in these moments, that you will learn how critical it is to have faith. David and his men have just returned from battle, victorious, just to walk into perhaps the greatest defeat in some of their lives. And the mindset amongst his team has quickly shifted from, that's my leader, to maybe we should kill him. Can I get the verses on there for me, Kim, please? 1 Samuel chapter 30. So when David and his men came to the city, and it was burned with fire, and the wives and their sons had, their daughters had been taken, and they'd been taken captive. Verse number 31. And it says, Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Let's keep it rolling. Verse number 5. And David's two wives and Abigail, his two wives had been taken captive. Come on, verse number 6. Here it is. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. I got a problem with the people, because it was all good just a week ago. And on the strength that every man grieved, the Bible says every man grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. Lord, have mercy. He said every man grieved for his sons and his daughters. Watch this. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You understand that he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You ever strengthened yourself in God? You know, one of the problems that, you know, why many people can't say that? Because you haven't. Because when times like this happen, or any type of opposition happens in our lives, most often what we try to do is handle it ourselves. And so we handle it in our strength. And you understand what I'm saying to you? And so you come out all beat up and raggedy and shaggy and all of that, but and then you have the nerve to say something like, but God kept me. You understand what I'm saying to you? You know that when you have, you know, strengthened yourself in the Lord, because despite the debacle, you come out a little stronger. You know people who strengthen themselves in the Lord because their countenance is different. They don't easily shake. You understand what I'm saying to you? They don't easily fold. They don't easily bend. They don't easily break. It's something about being able to strengthen yourself in God that when opposition comes your way, you're able to look at opposition and be like, I wish you would. David tells, he tells his boy, he says, listen, I need you to go get the ephod for me. And he begins to inquire to the Lord. And he says this. Watch this. Did you catch that? He inquires to the Lord. He don't call his pastor. Yeah. I need to call pastor first. No, you don't. No, you don't. And what you ain't going to do is get me in trouble by coming to me first. So now I ask people, have you prayed about it? Have you talked to God about that yet? And then if you say that you talk to God, then why are you asking me? Oh, I need some confirmation. So if you need some confirmation on what the Lord told me, what that tells me is that you don't hear from God often. You have not experienced a you and him relationship long enough to where you don't need no man to co-sign what God said. You see. So David does the right thing. He don't go to his crew and say, man, you hear him talking about they gonna stone me, man. I could have let him get shot back there. Hey, man, he don't do none of that. You know me, if I'd have heard that, right, I'd have been like, hey, Bees, you got that pistol? Robert, you with us? We ain't even going to wait. Oh, for real, that's what you want to do? Come on, let's see. Look, you stone who? None of that. And David's a warrior, but he is a warrior with a heart for God. So before he sees what he would do in the natural, he goes to what he knows he should do in the spirit. And he asks God, he says, should I go after what's mine? Oh, Lord, I'm speaking prophetically to somebody in here today. Should I go after what's mine? And David was so distraught at this time that he even had to ask questions about it. He said, and if I do go after it, will I get it? Now, I want you to understand, because preachers will have you running around here playing in traffic.
talking about have faith. You understand what I'm saying to you? When we serve a God, if you see in this passage, thank you, Holy Ghost, because I didn't even see this, but I'm just looking at it now. If you see this, he says, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God loves him so much. He says, look, don't trip. Go after them. You're going to get it all, and you ain't going to lose nothing. See, God understands us better than we understand ourselves. And so I could have came to Kenny and said, hey, man, you think we ought to, you know what I'm saying, it was, go after them, and you think we're going to get it back? And Kenny could have said, yeah, let's go after them. And we're going to get it all back. And Kenny could be wrong. Kenny might just like to fight. And we ain't going to get it all back. But it's something about being in the sweet presence of the Holy Ghost that when God tells you, go get yours, you can go get yours. Amen. He says, shall I pursue them? And shall I overtake them? And God loves David so much. He don't say something like, go and see. Trust me. I mean, if you claim your love, then trust me. Now let me ask y'all a question. I'm almost done. If you come home from the movies and your whole house is gone, and everybody that you love in it, and you go to God and say, and you got a great idea of who got them, and you go to God and say, should I go after my family, and will I get them back, Lord? What would you do if the Lord said, go find out? You trust me, don't you? You see his love for David? He don't do him like that. He says, go get your stuff. Yeah, I don't know. And I'm talking to some people in here today. Watch this. They stuff is right next to them, but they don't got it. They stuff is an arm's length. You hear me? They communicate with they stuff every day. But ain't no closer to they stuff than the man in the moon. You understand what I'm saying to you? I believe in 2023 that we have to be going to get everything that Satan has fooled us into, duped us into, played us into, things that we just jumped into on our own. I believe that this is the season that we're supposed to go get it all back. I tell you this. And I say this not to embarrass, but my wife is standing there. She will approve this message. On the way home yesterday, I said, I'd love to see my kids in church. At that time, Maya was going to be staying at Lika's all night, so she probably wasn't going to be in church today. I wanted to see my babies in church. I have this vision of all my babies coming to church and everybody growing up, you know, in the church. And when I'm gone here, you understand what I'm saying to you? My legacy lives on and I got this vision, you know, I see it, I want it. And today I get beautiful surprises. See, you can't tell me that we're not in a season. You hear me, Larissa? It's a season for you to go get your stuff. Watch this. And I found out that the war cry's got to be silent. Because if he hears you coming, oh, God. You ever hear something and you see somebody getting close to what you hear and you go, I got to go move that. See, the war cry in 2023 is silence. We move. I believe somebody said violence moves in silence. Because it's going to get violent when I get up on whatever it is and whoever it is that's got my stuff. Because when I get to them, it ain't nothing but everything that's mine. Give it back, give it back, give it back. And you know what? I'm going to take some of that too, just on the strength of interest. Yeah. Shaniqua. Had a vision. She had a dream. She had it worked out how parenting was going to be. And Satan, from day one, has been trying to snatch the dream. But God declares today, go find your dream. Go find your vision. Go find what he told you. Stand on that. Don't stand on what you see. Stand on what he told you despite what's before you. You gotta stand on what he told you. You gotta go back. Watch this. And some of you won't get that back till you go back and get the vision back, till you go back and get the promise, until you go back and you, oh God, y'all don't hear me. You can't have what's yours till you go get the other thing, watch this, that make, oh Lord, have mercy, that makes it yours. So I'm not coming to ask and pray, please. I'm coming with a promise. He promised me. And in the promise, it never said anything about I'd lose it or I had to give it away or it would be snatched right before my eyes. So guess what? I'm here with the promise, and the promise is kind of like a search warrant. I get to take whatever's got my name on it. Yeah, yeah. Go get your stuff. Watch this. And sometimes stuff's got to get far, oh God, to bring it back to where it belongs. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You understand what I'm saying to you? Go get your stuff. I declare every person in here to repeat after me right now. I want it all back. I want every vision back. I want every promise back. I want every breakthrough back. I want every next level back. I want every deeper depths and higher heights. I want it all back. So today, Marcus, you can play the soft music. I'm done. David, well, what happened? If you got to ask what happened, shame on you. That's one of the most popular stories in the Bible. But I'll tell you what happened. Sometimes when God is releasing you to get your stuff, he'll send you a hater to help you out. He'll send you a hater to help you out. What was his name? They found him over a beat down on the side of the road, and the Egyptian slave. And he said, just don't care. He said, now what you're going to do is they'll tell me what I need. He said, I'll tell you everything you need to know. Yeah. See, every now and again, it's good to keep a hater in your pocket. Because haters hang around haters. And watch this. You can compose your strategy from what the hater know, because the hater know more than you. Oh God, did you hear that? The hater knows more than you. So what's this old saying that I grew up on? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer, because your enemy is the enemy. Oh God, you hear me? And every now and then, an old hater will tell you something that you need, and David listens to the hater. You understand what I'm saying to you? And he and his troops went down and got all their stuff. And it says that none of it was harmed. None of it had been disrespected. None of it. Watch this. Some of you are in a season of your life that when you go get what's yours, you're going to be surprised how okay they already are. You're not going to have to worry about therapists and drug rehabilitation centers and all of that. God is, watch this. I believe that in this season, God is making it all right, even in their distress. Hey! He's making it all right in the worst point in times of their life. It's time to stop being passive. It's time to start declaring. I want it all back. I want my marriage back. I want my ministry back. I want my self-esteem back. I want my integrity back. I want to be able to look at me and be okay with who I see in the mirror. Is it anybody that has those desires today? Yeah. I want to be who I know I was called to be. I want to do better than what I've done. I want to suggest, go have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. Those things you should say, he will make it right. He'll make it right. Some of you are in some of the craziest times of your life. And it's time that you trust God And it's hard to trust God because despite what you tell people, you really ain't never trusted God before. You trusted you. You trusted what you could do. You trusted what you could get done. You trusted how you could fix it. So it makes this time in your life right now incredibly uncomfortable. But I want you to know that if you'll trust God. How do I trust him when I never have, Pastor? I know it looks like I had faith, but I promise I didn't. And how do I trust him when I never have? I'm sorry, I ain't got nothing deep for you. I ain't got nothing mystical. I ain't got nothing. You just do it. You didn't have no problem trusting that chair when you sat down. Not a narrow one of you felt the chair out. Didn't nobody ask, how much can the chair hold? You just sat down in the chair. I hear you, Holy Ghost. God said, that's how I want you to come to me about what you're going through. I just want you to sit down in me. Oh, God. I just want you to sit down in me. I just want you to sit down in me. Trust that I'm God. Listen, I ain't got no altar call for you. I ain't laying hands on nobody. This precious moment right here, the altar is open. Bypass me, I ain't got what you need. But if you find yourself in a situation today that you're going through it and there's things that you know belong to you, you, watch this. But I don't have it, but it's right next to me. We in the same house, but it seems like we're roommates. I want you just to get to the altar. If there's anybody in the building that says, he's got something that belongs to me. I don't have the power to go get your stuff. Only you do. And the altar is open.